This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Why are they different? What is so different about these two cases? Have you any ideas why these two cases are so different? What we see in the Gemara that they're treated totally differently, and that the way you paskin in the one has no bearing on the way you would paskin in the other. What could the reason be for that? Yeah, the case is the same. Both sons, both dividing equal amounts. The only thing is, in the one case it's cash and property, and in the other case it's property of property. Why isn't it an equal division? But Ravasi holds not. Ravasi holds Ksofim Arayin Kekarke. And we're working within the framework of Ravasi. So if you're holding Ksofim Arayin Kekarke, we disregard any preference that one might have for property. And we're dealing with value only. That's what Ksofim Arayin Kekarke means. We're dealing with the value, not with the object. No. That would be told. Then the Gemara would say that. I see from the Gemara, without understanding the Svora, I see from the mathematical structure of the Gemara that the halachic elements in the first case and the second case are very different. And I want to establish what the halachic element is in each case that makes them so different. And to do that, I want to look at the Gemara in Bava Basra. Where are those photostats of Bava Basra? Have you got them in front of you, actually? Yeah.
In the first case, one brother takes, they're entitled to equal things, but one brother takes land and one brother takes money.
Right.
So it must be Edom's understanding that they will take different things with a different risk associated, and they both bear the risk. Or they will share the risk in some way, because they're taking different things, and therefore there must be some way of balancing what they take and equalizing the risk. So if one person loses the land, he will claim the money from other. Whereas in the second case, where they both take land, it's not obvious that they're both taking something different. So there's no reason to suppose that the other should be the same. In the first case, there must be some implicit understanding. They're taking something different, so there must be something else going on sort of beneath the surface, some other understanding.
You've got to start at the other end. You've got to say, what is the principle in the second case? Because that's the simple case. Two take property. What is the principle there? Harein kashut are the kiyoshin, harein kilakuchos, or we're not sure what they're like. So that's the essential principle: is the relationship between two brothers one of lakuchos or one of shutfin? Now the question is what that revolves around. Let's just look at the Gemara in Bava Basra first. You need some more information before you can figure this out. No. In the first case, you're talking about the first case. No, not necessarily. The father might have had cash. He might have had land worth $1 million and cash worth $1 million, and the one took the cash and the one took the land. Look at the Gemara. Not enough of a clue. You mean that's more what Ivan was trying to say. That's the line that Ivan's working on, yeah. That's the line that Ivan's working on. Look at the Gemara. The Gemara is the same as our Gemara. It's the second line. Itmer ochin shecholku v'balchoy v'notal chelku shelechot mehen. Rav oma b'telo machlikis, shmuel oma vita, v'ravasi oma noita revia b'kalku revia b'moiz. Rav oma b'telo machlikis, kasover ochin shecholku yoshin heinu shmuel oma vita, kasover ochin shecholku l'kuchise, havu. Uchelukeach shaloi b'achrayus dami. Rav Asi v'sapkele yoshin havu l'kuchis havu, hilkach noita revia b'kalku revia b'moiz. Omer Rav Popeh, hilkas abichol anishmaitse mekamtzin. Don't worry about Rav Popeh. Amemer Omer, betele machloikis, vehilchaso, and Rav Ashi adds at the end of the, this is the final statement of the Gemara, vehilchaso, the halacha is betele machloikis. So we paskin like Rav. That's the Gemara in Bava Basra, which is important for us to know. Says, Amemer is an Amoira. Amemir Omer, it's the name of an Amoira. Yeah. Because he was before this. This is Rav Ashi, not Rav Asi. Rav Asi was before this decision. Says Tosfos, Behilchasa Betelo Machlikis, the last Tosfos, Hocho Mashme, from this it appears, the Kaimelon that the Gemara holds, the Yesh Breira, be the Paskinen Kerav, that there is Breira. Now that's throughout Shas, there's a big issue about whether there's Breira or there isn't Breira. If you look at the Rashbam, what would be Rashi is in fact the Rashbam in Bava Basra. So if you look at the Rashbam, the third line, not of the medium sized lines, Yoshim Havu. Yorshin Havu. Toiras Yorshim Yesh Alehem. These brothers have the halacha of Yorshim. Lifroya Bein Kulon Choivas Avihen. To pay amongst all of them the debts of their fathers. They remain Yorshim. That this is still an estate, and the creditor has a claim on the combined estate, and therefore the obligation to settle the debt of the creditor is a combined obligation. The Mishum Chaluko Loi Istaluk Mikarkoi didhu mibalchoivd avu. By virtue of them having split the estate, their land does not disassociate itself from their father's debts. Imagine the land had not yet been divided. Then what would be the din? Clearly you would pay the balchoiv and divide the balance. So now the fact that there has been a chaluka does not change the integrity of the estate. In the sense that the estate has to pay out the Baal Choyv, not one son. The estate still owes it. Disvirele le Rav, because Rav holds, Yesh Bereiro. There is Bereiro. What does that mean? Huvrar hadovar, it is clarified retrospectively, Shezocho kol echod bechelek haro iloy. What is the Bereiro issue? The Bereiro issue is the following. Do we say, it's difficult to picture it, but it has a lot of halachic ramifications in many different disconnected areas. Do we say that when each brother gets his part, that is actually his part? Or do we say that in every part, every molecule of land really belongs to all the brothers? How do you look at the breakup of a shutfus? When a shutfus is together, when two people have a share in a property, what's the deal? Which part of the property belongs to one and which part belongs to the other? Every molecule of property belongs to both of them. It's not that you can say this half is his and this half is his. When they split up the property, now they decide to split. And one takes half and the other takes another half and they agree. What's happened now? If every molecule of the entire property belonged to both, then my partner still has 50% in mine and I have 50% in his. So we have to say one of two things. Either Bereiro, which means it's as if retrospectively all my 50% of molecules came together in my section and what I've got is mine and what he's got is his. Or I say, no, it's true that really he's got a bit of mine and I've got a bit of his, but there is a secondary implied agreement whereby we release each other from our mutual involvement with one another. Do you follow the difference? Okay, don't worry about the halachic ramifications yet. We'll see it in a moment. Just try and understand it conceptually. So again, picture the partnership. Every molecule belongs to the two of them. Now we want to split, but we can't take every molecule and split. So what in fact is happening? Do we say really that that's what we're doing? We're splitting every molecule and putting it together in half the property and I'm taking the half which is now mine and always was mine. I've taken that which always was mine. That's what Breira means. Or do we say, no, I have taken half, and in my half, my partner has half of it, and I have half of his. But we've then implied a second agreement, say, cancelling it out, and saying, look, I have half of yours, and you have half of mine. I forego my claim on half of yours, and you forego your claim on half of mine, and it's a new deal. What's the nafkamina between the two? Well, here's a perfect example. Let's take the case of Yerusha. So now, the estate is there. The father dies, and the estate is there. Two pieces of property, two brothers. Let's say the two pieces of property of equal value. Who owns property one? the estate. Who's the estate? The two brothers. So the two brothers own property one, and the two brothers own property two. Now they decide to split it up. One brother will take property one, and one brother will take property two. What has happened? Are we merely saying retrospectively, we're saying that that was always his and that was always his? In other words, we're splitting the property retrospectively and saying that it remains a Yerusha, there's no secondary agreement. That's the way it was. Or are we going to say, no, there's no Breira, and therefore each one remains involved in the property of the other, and there is a second agreement, implied agreement, of releasing one another? What's enough, Kimina? That second implied agreement makes them like the kuchus. That's like a sale. I'm selling you my 50% in your property, and you will sell me your 50% in my property. Do you need to get that? That's the question of Breira. Do you need to get to that second agreement? Or can it work without it? Can you split a partnership without that implied agreement? Or do you need that implied agreement in? Now look at the Rashbam inside again. That means huvrar hadovar, the matter is clarified. Shezocho kol echod bechelek haro iloi, that each brother has in fact now inherited that part destined for him. Venimtzo deloi lokhu ze mize klum, resulting in the fact that there has been no purchase or sale between the two of them. V'hu adinling in chazor b'yovel, don't worry about that. Go down to the next line. Kilekuchos damu. But Shmuel holds that they are like Lekuchos de Ein Breira. Because the mere fact that you have physically separated the estate does not mean that automatically each brother has no longer any claim in the estate of the other. So each brother has a part of his brother's inheritance. And they have to go into a swap. They have to swap each one's claims on the other. And that's the kuchus. That's a different relationship. The kivan de lekuchus ninu ho vaday kolokach shloi ba'achrayas damu, and it's certainly like lekach shloi ba'achrayas, which he goes on to explain, which we don't have to do at the moment. But the Rashbam explains the shita of Ri in the Tosfos here, that the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel revolves around whether the splitting of a partnership is final and each one automatically has their half, or the splitting of the partnership is theoretical and still requires an implied swap of each one's claims on the others. That's what this whole machlokes revolves around. Now, once we've got that, then it becomes clear to understand the distinction between the two cases. Because what will the case be if the father has one property and cash, and the one takes the property and one takes the cash? Is that Breira or isn't there Breira? Does the same question arise? Or is that case different? Why? What's the difference, Owen? Yeah, you can't work that way. There clearly they have to swap claims. There clearly they've got to swap claims. You can't say that it's Huvra Melechatchila, that each one got their share. That the money was meant for him and the property was meant for him. That's not how an estate is. Each one had half of the money and each one had half of the property. They decided to set it off against one another. But that's Lekuchos. So when you're talking about two different types of items, you've got to say Lekuchos. You cannot say. If that's the basis of Rav and Shmuel's argument, then when you're talking about Metaltalin and Karka, or two different types of Metaltalin even, there's a Rashi in Chagiga, I think it's on Daf Kaf Hei, where Rashi says this whole thing of Breira only works if you're talking about, there it's talking about Kodshim and things, so it works with if you're talking about, it's all goats. One has half the goats and another one has half the goats. But if it's goats and sheep, then you can't work with Breira. Because each brother is entitled to half the goats and half the sheep. You can't say it's Huvra that the goats were meant for one and the sheep were meant for another. You can only do it when it's the same commodity. In the same commodity, you can talk about whether the molecules shift this way or they shift that way, but you can't talk about it in two different commodities. And therefore, if this is the basis of the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, is Breira, that applies only when it's karka and karka. That will not apply when it's karka and kesef. There's no question that there's no Breira, which means they must be kilekuchos domi, which means which way? First loshen or second loshen? Second loshen. If this is our understanding of Rav and Shmuel, then the pashtus of the first one has to be the second loshen. There's no brayer, which of course makes the first loshen difficult. What does the first loshen mean now? Now we've understood, so let's go back to our Gemara. So we've established a havono. We've established an approach in our Gemara, but it's created a particular difficulty with the first loshen. Okay. Now, you in your own preparation couldn't have got this far, but should have got to the point where you realized the difficulty between the conflict between the two Lashonis. That's as far as you needed to get yourself. Not the two Lashonis, between the two cases, the first case and the second case. Now, it gets even peculiarer and peculiarer. Because, if you look at the Rambam, you might have to share Rambams. Look at the Rambam, Perik Asiri. Shnei achim shecholku. Two brothers divide. Uvolohen ach mimdinas hayom. And after the division, a third brother appears. They thought he was dead. And he suddenly appears. Bechein, likewise. Shloisha ochim shecholku. Even if all three were there to start with. Uvol balchov venotal chelku shelechod mehem. And the balchov comes and takes one of them. Which case is this? This is our case in the Gemara, the second case in the Gemara. He's got three brothers instead of two brothers. Afilu notal ze karko veze ksofim. Even if one took karka and one took ksofim, which case is that? So the Rambam is immediately saying, contrary to everything we've learned so far, that there's no difference between the two cases. Quite, by the way, that's how he learns the Gemara, no difference between the cases. The Taylor machlokes. How does he paskin? Like Rav, Betela Machlokes, the Chozrim v'Cholkin Hashar b'Shove, and the rest has to be. So how will it go? Like the first loshen or the second loshen? Like the first loshen. So not only is he combining the two, but where we worked out that they're not combined, so we worked out they're not combined. Must be from the Gemara that they're not combined. The Rambam takes for granted they're combined. We worked out that if they're not combined, and the principle, and we paskin like Rav, which is the way the Gemara in Bava Basra does, you have to paskin like the second Loshen. And the Rambam paskins like Rav and like the first Loshen. Now you go and tell me what movie you can go and watch that's more exciting than this. Figure out how the Rambam learned the Gemara. Yeah, you want to tell me what movie is more exciting than this? Just hang on a sec, I'm not ready for you. Now we're not even finished with it. It's not the peculiarity is not even finished, because listen to this Rambam. It just was complicated to photostat, so it's just a few words and I'll read it to you. It's a Rambam from Hilchos Shechenim, the laws of neighbors. It's quoted on your Ein Mishpat Hilchos Shechenim Aloche Perik Beis Aloche Yud Beis. Listen to this Rambam. Ha'achin shecholku, brothers that divide in a state, harei hein kilekuchos. They have the law of lekuchos. Who's that? Shmuel. And therefore, ein lohem derech zelazeh. Then the Rambam deals with that in a completely different context. The question of what claims they have on one another. Can they go back to previous claims and claim that their father used to walk through the one field to get to the other field? And so on, so that must continue. No, he says they have no relationship with one another. The two, it's as if they were sold out to two separate people. There's no, the integrity of the estate has been broken. So, yes, Anthony?
Why is that not that to be land, and what it means to be land? Yes, it's the first.
Which one? No, the first Rambam says clearly, he says. Because afterwards it says, Afilu notal ze karka vezek sofim. Meaning the first one is karka and karka. Afilu not al zeh karke v'zeh sofim. The one in Hilchus Shechenim is certainly karke. The one in Hilchus Nachalus, he says, brothers divided, afilu not al zeh karke v'zeh sofim b'teilo. So certainly if they both have karke, so that won't help us. And we're not even finished with the peculiarities. You've been passing like Rav and Shmuel Bedina and all that? No. Both Bedina, both Mishpotim, yeah. I'm going to show you something even more peculiar, which some of you might have seen already, but now you'll understand why it's so very peculiar, and that's the Rif. The Rif is the weirdest of the lot. If what we've had now has been skit and donner, then the riff is comedy. Itma, says the riff, we learnt. Gimel Achim Shecholku, three brothers who divided. Uvo baal choiv v'notal chelku shelechod meim. So he's also got three brothers divided. They want the chavis yoed changes. We see the Rambam had it too. It doesn't matter. Three brothers divided. The baal choiv, the creditor, came and took the property of one of them. Rav Omar betelo machlukes. Ushmuel Omar viter. Rav Asi Omar noitel revia bekarku revia bemois. Rav Asi mesapkele ikerav iolke Shmuel. Vekivan de mesapkele kaimelan momen amutel besofik chelki. That's our Gemara, with the Rif's explanation of Rav Asi, Momen Amutal Besofik Chokim. Fine. What cases is the Rif dealing with? First or second case? Second case. Rif's talking to Karka, they split Karka. Second case. Uchvar ifseke hilchese behedye beferek ha'im ala chavere beis kurofer ani moicheloch. And in the Perik Ha'im el Chavir Bez Kur Ofer Ani Moichelach, that's the name of the Perik in Bolabasra, Halocha has clearly been paskened Kerav, like Rav Damrin and Hosom V'hilchus B'teilo Machlikis. That we say there the Halocha is B'teilo Machlikis. Fine, no difficulty, we got that for ourselves. Goes the Rif on to say Hilkach, therefore, critical word, underline it, Hilkach, therefore, לגבי שני אחים שחולקו אחד נוט על קרקע ואחד נוט על כסופים ובו באחוי ונוט על הקרקע. So if we go back now to the first case and don't look further in the Rif, just lift up your heads a second. So what's he saying? Therefore, so this is nice, this is the way we were learning. Therefore, now that we've established what the basis is of Rav and Shmuel, if you go back to the first one, what must the halacha be? It must be like the Rav, so it would come out that you cannot betale, you would come out that they're not betale machlokes. There it would come out that you've got a sense. The basis of Betelo Machloikis is the only connectedness can be that Betelo Machloikis in the Bolabasra case is because of Breira, and Breira doesn't apply where it's Karko and Metaltilin. So there we've got to say that you've got no claim. Dinahu de Azil Hai Veshakil Palga Biksofim. Because therefore you can see from case two that in case one the din is that you, like the Lishna Kama, that you can claim the money from the partner, from the other brother who had the money, and he cannot defend himself by saying, So the Rif is using the Gemara in Bava Basra to disprove the Lishna Basra, to disprove the Ikad Amri. So not the Rambam packages it together, which was our first surprise. But the Rif goes much further. The Rif not only packages it together, but says that the basis of the halacha for the first case, karka and kesef, is found in the second case. And that through the psak of the second case, we can come to an understanding of the first case. That's the strange thing in the Rif. Whereas the Gemara seems to separate them. And if there is any connectedness, then it should be an inverse connectedness. Since in the second case, the machlokes revolves around whether there's breira or not, and the only reason we paskin like Rav is because we hold Yesh Breiro,
And yesh breira means that we've got to view it as if there was no subsequent agreement because the molecules have all just separated themselves into the two parts. That's okay where it's karka and karka. But where it's karka and metaltalin, clearly you can't say that. Breira doesn't come into the picture at all. And if breira doesn't come into the picture, the din must be that you've got no claim on the other brother. Must be there, it must be kilukuchos dami. Can't be kiyoshi. That would be like the Lishna Basra, that would be like the Ikadami. And the Rif says no. Since we see that the halacha is like Rav, that applies in the first case as well, that the halacha is, in the case of metaltalin too, that we can go and claim the metaltalin from, claim the kesef from the brother who had the money. Half of the kesef. Very strange Rif. All this is the kasha that the Rosh asks. If you learn the Rosh, this is all what the Rosh deals with. Yes. That's what it means. That's how Ri and the Rashbam explain it. What does it mean when you look at them as Yoshim? Do you retain the integrity of the estate saying that there's been no subsequent deal like Lekuchos? Or do you say no, the integrity of the estate cannot be maintained because then each would have half of the other? And the only way they can be split is by having a secondary implied agreement of swap, which makes them like Lekuchos in their relationship to one another, not like Yoshim. That's the way that Rashbam in Bava Basra learns it, and the Ri in Tosfos learns it in Bava Basra. Now we're ready to learn the Rosh. Breira means clarification. It's clarified retrospectively that what I've got was mine all the time, and no subsequent deal is necessary. That Breira is separate. It's huvra lemafre. It's clarified retrospectively that I got my molecules, and you've got no claim in my property. So it's a strange term. Let's go through the Rosh. Simon Wolf. Shnei ochim shecholku. Echot not al karke, vechot not al ksofi. Uvo bal chuyv, venot al karke. Azil hay, veshakil palge di ksofi. Pshite, says the Gemara, surely that's poshut. Don't forget, we're still left with the kasha of the understanding of this pshite. It's now become more urgent because the Rif paskens this way, and so does the Rambam. But the understanding of the pshita becomes very difficult. What is this pshita that they can get it? Why come pshita? The only way to say pshita would be breira, and breira doesn't work when one's got metaltalin and one's got kesef. What's the one in pshita? Hi bro, hi love bro. Good, hi bro, hi love. They're both sons, but there's been a chaluka. And after there's been a chaluka, there's been a kilukuchus dami, as the Rambam himself paskens, achim shiyoshu kilukuchus dami. And if we're going to paskin that essentially the relationship between two brothers who've divided property is kilukuchos dami, and certainly when one took kesef and one took karka, what's the pshita? High brother, high love bro. What does the Gemara mean? So that we also need to clarify. So the Rosh pshita, high brother, high love bro. Ikid amri adarabel idach kisad omel elohi shakli ksofim di mignevi minoi lo mishtalim no minoch. Ulahachi shaklis aro di mitrefo minoch lo mishtalant minoi. That's the Gemara. Posak Rav Alfazal, the Rif paskind. Don't forget, the Rosh was originally written as a perish on the Rif. The Rif paskind, Kelishne Kame, like the first Loshin, the Shakil Palge Biksofi. Asks the Rosh, the Afal Gav de Bechol Duchti Ragil Rav Alfas Livsoik Kelishne Basra. So the Rosh has another kasha which we haven't even touched on. The normal thing is that you paskin like the second Loshin, where there's an Ika de Amri in the Gemara, the Psak is almost invariably like the second Loshin. Because that's the old way the Gemara was structured. Says the Rosh, but here it's different. Hainu, when do we paskin like the second Loshin? Hecho de Ika tre lishni, achada memre. Where there are two approaches to one memre, to one statement. So, and Amoiro makes a statement, and then you've got two lashonas as to how to interpret that statement. The lishne kama mefaresh de hochi itme hadol meimro. The first loshon says this is what it means. The lishne basu mefaresh de itme beinyanach.
And the other one says, no, it means something else. So there's a machlokes between the two Lashonis as to what Rav so-and-so or Rebbe so-and-so meant when he said X, Y, Z. Mistaber, in such a case, it is logical to assume that the view which Rav Ashi records lost, Rav Ashi being the editor of the Gemara, the view which Rav Ashi records lost, Nire Be'inovikar, is the one Rav Ashi prefers. The Kivin Da'achrisahi, since it's brought lost, Hadri Behu Mikamaisa, it indicates a revision from the previous viewpoint. So Rav Ashi brings the one viewpoint and then brings the overriding one. That's normally what an Ikad Amri means. This is a very important Rosh because it's just understanding what an Ikad Amri is. So when you've got an Ikad Amri, two views as to what somebody meant when he said something, Rav Ashi will put the more importantly, the overriding view lost. Avulhani tre lishni lav memris amiroi ninu. But these two lashonos are not statements of particular amiroim, particular viewpoints. Ela gemoru deshakil v'tari. It's the same person talking out, saying either it's poshut or it's wrong. It's not two views, right? The ikad amri doesn't mean that one school says this and one school says that. It's the Gemara talking it out, and the Gemara says lefarish deravasi deomar ksofim arein kekarkel leize inyan nema, and they're not explaining what Rav Asi meant when he said ksofim arein kekarkel. They're explaining what he couldn't have meant. We haven't come on to yet what he does mean. All we're saying is it doesn't mean this. And there are two reasons why he doesn't mean this. So there's no machlokes between the two views as to what Rav Asi means. You see the difference? A normal Ikad Amri is a machlokes amiroim as to what is meant by somebody's memra. But here there's no machlokes. It so happens there's a halachic difference. But not in the interpretation of Rav Asi. Both agree, the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basra agree that Rav Asi couldn't have been talking about this. And the Gemara wants to try and say maybe Rav Asi was talking about Shnei Ochim Shecholku. And then the Gemara says, no, it can't be. It's the Gemara talking it out. It cannot be that. Either because it's obvious, or some say it's for another reason that Rav Asi could not have said this, but all agree that Rav Asi couldn't have said it. Why couldn't he have said it? Two reasons as to why he couldn't have said it. Because in this case, ksofim is not like karka. Therefore, there are not here two different views that would require us to go after the latter one. The two different svoros, equally powerful. And you've got to put one before and one afterwards. You can't record them simultaneously. But there's no added weight given to the one by virtue of its being recorded second. Where it's two different views, there the one that is recorded second is the primary view. But here it's the same view. And they're equally powerful. You can't argue against either of them. So they are really recorded side by side. Two different svoros, usvoro rishoino ikar. And in this case, it so happens that the first svara is the main one. How do we know that? Midechazin and Gemara de Beferik Beiskur de Posak Behilchus Akarav. That we see from Bava Basra. See how he's letting the Rish. So there are two, that in this Ikad Amri, the two svaras are equally weighted. Rav Ashi didn't record the second one, the Ikad Amri second, because he thought it was better. Two svaras, the normal principles of Ikad Amri don't apply here, says the Rosh. So what does apply here? Two svaras, and we've got to decide ourselves which one is the Ikad. The Rif chooses the first Loshon as the Ikad. Why? Because of the Gemara and Bava Basra. Okay, we've got a problem with that, but let's carry on. The Omar Betelo Machlikis, because the Gemara there paskins like Rav, who says Betelo Machlikis. Afal gav de bechol duchti halocha kavose de Shmuel bedini. Normally in Mishpotim, in Choshen Mishpat, we always paskin like Shmuel. So this is an exception. In this case, we're paskining like Rav. There are a few exceptions where we paskin like Rav, and this is one of the famous exceptions, where the Gemara and Bava Basra is paskining like Rav against Shmuel. The mitam de iu sova de yesh breira loy ifsik kevose. The reason that we paskin like Rav is not because Rav holds that there's breira. the kaimelan, because we in fact paskin the bidoraisa in breira. The halacha is that there isn't breira in matters of doraisa. So that's got nothing to do with apsa. Okay, so the Rosh is immediately chilek with the Rashbam and Ri in Tosfos. The Rashbam and Ri in Bavasa said that the reasons given for each of them is breira. Rav holds there is breira, and Shmuel holds there's no breira. Says the Rosh, if that were the basis of the whole thing, we would paskin like Shmuel. Firstly, because we always paskin like Shmuel, and secondly, because we paskin yesh breira. So why would we be paskining like Rav? That can't be the reason. The mitan, the use of deshbreira, lo yipsik yavosa, the kaimelan v'dibraisa, ein breira. Elo. So the reason behind the Gemara's psak in Bava Basra is disvora muchletes hi. This is something we have in several places of in Shas. It is a svora muchletes, an absolute svora. De yasmi karo de avuhon inun. An important phrase. The yasmi, that sons are branches of their father. Lifroya chuyves avien b'shove, obligated, equally obligated to repay their father's debts. Bein not lushneim karka, bein not alechot karka, veichat ksofim, makes no difference. This has now got nothing to do with whether they took money or property or whatever. The estate retains its integrity as far as, irrespective of whether we say yesh breira or ein breira. There's another overriding principle here that has nothing to do with breira, and that is yatmi kare de avuhon havi. The children, the orphans, are branches of the father, and the obligations incurred by the father always remain to be paid by all of the orphans. Just like a tree with branches, you can't say this branch is they're all attached to the trunk, and whatever problem the trunk has, all the branches have to sort out, and whatever benefit the branch gives, they all benefit from. And they retain that relationship with their father even after his death. So we're not looking at their relationship to one another. The Rashbam and the Ri examine their relationship to one another. Is it like Lekuchos or like Yoshi? Let me put it to you slightly differently. In this analysis of whether their relationship is one of Yerusha, of Yoshim or Lekuchos, are they purchasers or are they inheritors? We can look at it laterally or we can look at it vertically. Are we examining whether they are relating to one another like Lekuchos or to one another like Yoshim? Or are we looking at it, are they relating to their predecessors like Lekuchos or like Yoshim? A Lekuach Sheloi Ba'achrayus has no relation, no ongoing relationship with the seller. A Yoyresh does. That's if we're looking at it vertically. If we're looking at it laterally, which is the way we've looked at it until now, that's the way that Rashbam and Ri looked at it. Look at it laterally. Rav holds they like Yoshim, they continue a relationship with one another. And therefore the fact that one has to pay out means he can still claim from his brother. Whereas Shmuel says, Ki lekuchos dami, they are like lekuchos sheloi be'achrayus one to another. They have no further relationship with one another because we hold ein breira. The Rosh is saying no, this is, we're not looking at the lateral relationship. There's something that overrides the lateral relationship. Irrespective of whether we say yesh breira or ein breira with relationship to one another, there's another thing here. Yasmi kari davu anin. The relationship between the sons and the father continues like the relationship between branches and a tree. And that overrides the principles of breira. So irrespective of breira, normally we would paskin like Shmuel. We paskin in matters of Doraisa, we paskin what does he say? In matters of Doraisa, we would paskin ein breira. And therefore they have no relationship with one another. That's how we would paskin on the issue of breira, but that doesn't help us with their relationship to their father. They all have an equal obligation to pay out the creditor of the father, and that's an ongoing relationship. And that overrides the principles of breira. Once that overrides the principles of breira, then it makes no difference if you're dealing with metaltalin or you're dealing with ksofim. Now we don't need to come into this distinction. Now, whether one's got kesef and one's got karka, it's got nothing to do with breira. It's got nothing to do with the molecules running around. This has got to do with a moral obligation to the father. And each has an equal moral obligation to the father. So the Baal Chuyv has come and taken the one's property. That doesn't release the other brother from his moral obligation. He's got to compensate the brother who's lost the property. That's how the Rif learns. That's the Hilkach in the Rif. But what we're basing this on is not breira. The Rif cannot be learning like the Rashbam, and he cannot be learning like the Rif. He learns differently altogether. And that's how the Rambam learns. That's why the Rambam puts the two together and says, I feel it makes a difference what they bought. Let's look in the Lashon of the Rambam again. Now the lotion of the Rambam becomes clear. Shnei ochim shecholku uvolo in ach memdinas hayam. Same principle, a brother comes from overseas. He's part of that deal. He's also a branch of the tree. V'chein shloish ochim shecholku uvo balchoi v'not al chelku shelechot mehem afilu not al zeh karka v'zeh ksofim. It makes no difference. Don't think it's for breira, in which case there would be a difference whether if both took karka or one took ksofim. No, it's got nothing to do with breira, and therefore afilu not al zeh karka v'zeh ksofim b'teila machloikes b'chozim v'chokin ha'shah b'shodeh. That's as far as the son being a branch of the father is concerned. But according to the Rosh, how would we paskin in other matters that don't affect the father between Rav and Shmuel? We would paskin like Shmuel, Harehen Kilakuchus, which is what the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Shcheinim. Harehen Kilakuchus. So in all other matters we paskin like Shmuel, as the Rosh says we should. Firstly, because we paskin Ein Breira. Secondly, because we always paskin like Shmuel. The only thing that we're not paskining like Shmuel is because there's an overriding principle of bro karad, of yasmi karad avun ninu, that the orphans are branches of the father. That overrides the principle of Breira. That's why the Gemara in Bava Basra paskins like Rav, not because of the principle of Breira, but because of the principle of yasmi karad avun. And that's why it makes no difference if we're dealing with metaltalin or we're dealing with karko, or one karko and one metaltalin. That principle of the child's moral obligation to his father remains, and all the chalukas have to be b'shove, and that's why the Rif says hilkach. Once we've established the principle in Bava Basra, we can go back to the first case in Al Gemara, and we can be masik, we can paskin like the Lishna Kama. We're not obligated to go like the Lishna Basra for the reasons the Rosh gives. This is not a normal Ikad Amri, this is a different kind of Ikad Amri. Both Svoras have equal weight in the context of Bava Kama. But once we understand the principle of Bava Basra, the weight is given to the first Loshen, and that's how the Rif paskins, and that's how the Rambam paskins, and virtually all the other poskim. Any questions on that? Ah, so now the Pshita is very good. Let's go back to the Pshita. That's in fact now the two Loshenis. One way of looking at it is, Shnei ochim shecholku v'notal echot karko v'echot ksofim uvo balchoi v'notal karke de'ozil hai v'shakil palga b'ksofim b'hadei pshita hai bro v'hai lav bro is one a son and one isn't a son. The overriding principle of yasmi karid avun. If you work with that overriding principle, what havamina is there that he can't go to his brother? Ikedamri adur abelidach yis domel achishak ksofim. We especially didn't split in property so that we wouldn't come onto the Breira issue. If we both had property, then we could be worried about Breira, and maybe we would have a claim on one another, because it could then be like Rav. But since we're dealing, I've got the metaltin, I've got money, and you've got property, there's no question of Breira. So if you're looking at the first Loshen looks at it vertically, and the second Loshen looks at it laterally. And they're equally powerful. It's the Gemara and Bava Basra which weighs it down in favor of the vertical view. But in terms of this context, you can't go either way, or equally strong. And that's why Rav Asi couldn't have been saying that. That's this piece of Gemara. So Wednesday, I don't think we'll have a shiur. I think you've got a lot of work to do on this shiur. Let's rather not have a shiur on Wednesday. How far are you? Have you started the Shlish B'Mitzvah yet with Rabbi?
No, you
haven't even finished this. So fine. So next Sunday, I imagine we'll do the Shlish B'Mitzvah. I think there's enough to do on that, which is the next sugya before the Mishnah. Or if you're already well into the Mishnah, perhaps we'll have to go further. As the week goes on, we'll see where you're holding and what we'll do in Mitzvah Hashem next Sunday. Just before we stop, a number of people have asked me about the question of joining the other shiur and so on. What I would like...